I just really want to ask you to open up your spirit and receive from Kathy this afternoon. You know, there's something she might say that you might not understand, that might challenge some of the boxes we put God in, but our God is so supernatural, and you can't put him in a box, and he just wants us to be open and step outside of the limitations we've put on him. Does that sound okay? How many of you will agree with me on that? Okay. So without further ado, Kathy, great honor to have you here.
Is it good afternoon, right? It's good afternoon. Okay. Oh, God, it's good. I'm tired, though. It's still good, but I'm still tired. Yeah, so where are we now? Actually, I fell asleep when we were driving. Anyway, yeah, I've been here like, 5 weeks now, and we've been down in Queenstown, down in Wellington, had an awesome time down there, had an awesome time in Cromwell, and with these guys this morning, and it's just, we drove 3 hours in the dark last night down these little roads, you know. I'm not used to that. I live in America, so like big motorways. Yeah, we had to stop halfway. I was like freaking out. I mean, you know, when you're used to the dark and a little car and all that stuff like this and you're going fast, it's like freaky if you're not used to it. So, anybody here got sheep? You got sheep? You got sheep? You got one sheep? I got two sheep. I got two sheep named after me now. But I want to tell you a sheep story. because, you know, it's just a testimony somebody just sent me from Australia. There's a guy in Australia, and I was there last year doing a conference. And we, you know, great time. I have a great time everywhere because I just enjoy myself, you know. I believe our first calling is to enjoy the Lord. So I enjoy the Lord, and you can get blessed if you want to. but anyway, there was a guy in this meeting, this conference in not far, well, about 2 hours' drive from Melbourne. And I was talking about, you know the scriptures, declare a thing, and it will be established unto you. Because your words have power, right? The Creator who spoke and created the world lives in you. So your words are very creative, whether you like it or not. You see, your words do have power, so, you know, you are going to have what you say. It's as simple as that. Some people bring a lot of negative things on themselves because they keep saying negative things. So when you declare things about yourself and your life, you actually are creating a pathway that you're going to walk in, that you have that much power because of who your daddy is. Understand? So anyway, so I was teaching about that, you see, and then the pastor there, he also was teaching about that. He was preparing about the power of words and the power of declaring the goodness of God and the blessings of God and everything. Because good news is a spirit, right? And good news is your inheritance. Because the gospel is good news. And your feet are anointed to what? Bring good news. Anyway, so this farmer, he has a small herd of sheep. You say herd, right? Flock. I live in Georgia. I don't. A flock of sheep. Oh, it was a flock of birds. Anyway, a flock of sheep. Probably, I don't know, maybe 60, 70, I don't know. But anyway, he really got hold of this thing, you see, about declaring. So from that day, he decided he's going to bless his sheep. And every night when he got his sheep, he started, he had a list. He sent it to me on an email, of things he declared over his sheep. He released the blessings of God. He declared they were blessed going out and blessed going in. He declared they were fruitful and healthy and blessed. They were products of good news. I mean, a whole bunch of stuff that he got done. He declared every day over his little flock of sheep. Anyway, so he just emailed me a couple of days ago, and he said, I wanted to tell you what happened to my sheep. He said, every ewe had twins, and some had triplets. Everyone. And out of his little flock, not a great big flock, he had two of the rams just won top prizes. He's got another one that's, I think, just about to win another prize. So he said, I know that happened because what I declared over them every day. So he said, now I'm going to try it on my children. Well, maybe you should have started with your children, but anyway. So, yeah, see, the blessing, if the Creator's in you, right, you have power in your mouth to declare the goodness of God. Declare a thing and it will be established. See, it doesn't say think a thing. It says declare, so your words have power. So, you know, write a little note and put it on your bathroom mirror when you get up in the morning to remind yourself, declare good news. Because we're carriers of good news, right? Carriers of the joy. Do you have any water? You know, I've had a good time anyway because I love New Zealand. It's so beautiful. And, yeah, I just love driving around. I mean, twice now, Margaret and Russell, Margaret's husband Russell, we've driven from Auckland to what? From Auckland to Wellington. And I know you could get a plane, but it's just so beautiful. And I think there's something about driving the country, you know, and like declaring good news over New Zealand. You didn't pray over it or anything, did you? I don't trust you, no. We've been getting drunk water. Drunk water in the meeting, so. No, don't leave, get away. Before I left, do you know who Bob Jones is? Anybody in America? He's a prophet, right? Well, Bob Jones is my daddy. Bob Jones, he taught me everything I knew about the seer anointing, which is what I operate in as a seer gift. Actually, there's a lot of seer anointing in New Zealand. If you're not quite sure what that is, it's a prophetic anointing. But there is a difference between a seer and a prophet. A seer anointing is a prophetic gift, but the Lord moves a lot in your senses, taste, touch, feel, smell. Around seer type people, there's usually a lot of aromas. You smell the aromas. God, different aromas. I have a book on what the different aromas mean. But there's a lot of manifestations usually, and like aromas, different things. So, why did I say that now? Oh, anyway, so yes, Bob taught me, you know, the seer anointing. I actually have some CDs on the seer anointing if you think you have that anointing, because a lot of people in New Zealand have it, but they don't understand it and they don't know quite what to do with it. So I did some CDs about that if you have that. You know, if you feel things, smell things, it's a seer anointing. I can pray for you for that too if you like. But you know what? But you can't care what people think about you. Because if you care what people think about you, don't operate in the seer anointing because odd things happen to you. I mean, you know, God touches me, shows me about the body. He touches my body, and that's why I don't have notes. So I'm trying to follow what I can feel all over the place. Do you understand? No. Right. But anyway, so Bob, you know, Bob died last year, February the 14th, Valentine's Day. I don't know if you heard this story, but Bob actually in hospital died at 8:20 in the morning. Bonnie, his wife, was with him when he died. And at 10 o'clock, he walked into the administrator's office and sat down and gave him some notes to give, some words to give to some people, you see. Well, the administrator didn't know that he died already. and the guy's Christian, he's not spirit-filled, though. But anyway, so he wrote down all the notes that Bob gave him. Then he found out later he'd actually died at 8:20. But Bob actually, you know, left his body, and he actually stayed around for a day. And he left in the evening. I knew when he left because he visited different sons and daughters of his all through the day, just like kind of like checking, because he came to my house at 6 o'clock. I know that sounds odd to you, but sometimes when your spirit leaves your body, it doesn't sometimes doesn't immediately go. He was around for a day. You can ask anybody. You see, he just checked. And then I know when he left. It was about 10:30 at night, and suddenly he's gone. Well, that made some faces out there. But anyway, that's true. Where's the water? That's true. But there was a guy that I talked to. He was very close friends with Bob Jones. Very close friends. And I talked to him. He got my number from Sid Roth. Just before I left, I talked to him. And it was amazing because when I got off the phone from this guy, I felt like I'd been talking to Bob Jones. You know, I mean, it was amazing. But what he said to me was, I've got these words for New Zealand. I said, well, actually, next week I'm going to New Zealand. So he said, I have these words for New Zealand. I said, well, what are they? So he told me a couple of things. He said, New Zealand's going green. I thought, oh, no, those green people. They're a pain. So he said, no, it's going to go green. New. Birth. New. You know, like spring green. So it's going to be new things coming up. A new. Yeah, then he said, and there's a new zeal coming to New Zealand. Then he said, there's anointing right now while I'm here in New Zealand. There'll be anointing for fingers, hands and feet. So if you have any problems with your fingers, hands or feet, now's a good time to get healed. You can get healed today. Yeah? So, what's the other word he had? If I remember the rest, I'll tell you. But anyway, oh, the other thing is this. There's a mantle coming on New Zealand right now. It's hovering. I saw it. The other lady in the meeting, she saw exactly the same thing. As when we were driving, I saw this mantle hovering over New Zealand. It was light blue, a very beautiful light blue. It was like velvet. And the Lord told me that's Elijah's mantle for New Zealand. Now, Elijah was bold, right? He was very bold. He was supernatural, right? He was bold and prophetic. He was supernatural. And it said the mantle of Elijah would restore the hearts of the children back to the fathers. But I believe that's the people back to God. Yeah? So I think anointing is coming for that. And miracles. Signs, wonders, and miracles. That's what he had. Is that right? So that's a deposit for New Zealand. Now, the thing about this mantle was, you know, nothing that God releases is automatic. You have to receive it. Is that right? I mean, when Jesus died and rose again, he qualified you 100%. He took the test and passed it. There's not another test. So I'm so qualified. You see, when Jesus died and rose again, he didn't say, well, I came to give you some religion and more of it. I came to give you life and more abundantly, all right? Well, the life that Jesus had is what? The whole realm of the Holy Spirit, the realm of the Spirit, the supernatural realm, the angels, heavenly visitations. That's our inheritance. You see, Jesus didn't die on a cross and rise again to leave us some religious stuff to learn. He left us a whole life, didn't he? Now, but what he left us, nothing is automatic. Salvation is available, is that right? Did you purchase that? It's not automatic though. You have to receive Jesus, is that right? When Jesus died and rose again, he made healing available. He was bruised for our iniquities. You know, with his stripes we are healed. He purchased healing. But it's not automatic, is it? If you don't believe in healing, you won't get healed. It's that simple. You have to receive the healing. He's the deliverer. Thank God. He's the deliverer. How many of you got delivered? How many of you got delivered? Aren't you glad he's the deliverer? But you see, it's not automatic. You have to get delivered. You know, when I came out of my very fundamentalist, theological, ultra-Calvinistic, puritanical church, my pastor was the greatest expository preacher in the world. He was a wonderful man. But it was just all this theology. It was here. You see, we didn't know anything about the anointing or anything. We just had lots of information. It was wonderful information. But it didn't set us free. I needed a lot of deliverance, but nobody knew anything about that where I was. So when we came into an incredible revival of the glory of God some years later, we got smashed by the glory of God. We didn't know what was happening to us. We had no idea we didn't know anything. We just knew all this theology, you see. So when God showed up and the glory of God showed up, and we didn't know what was happening even, just that the power of God came down and just stayed, he began to deliver us and set us free. I got delivered from a bunch of religious stuff. I got delivered from stuff that had been in my family for generations, Freemasonry. I got delivered from all that. I got delivered from spirits from India, Africa, Egypt, the Mafia. I was engaged to someone in the Mafia in Sydney. I got delivered from spirits from Ireland and England. I was like the United Nations all by myself. You see, because what I was in, we had all the theory, but not the experience. And so when we came into an incredible revival and God showed up, we all began to get delivered. So Jesus, as the deliverer, showed up. Jesus, as the healer, showed us how to receive healing. Before that, it was all here. You know what I mean? But the Holy Spirit came to take this in here, which is wonderful information. The Holy Spirit came to get it out of here and into your life. Because you are God's advertisement. Whether you like it or not. As soon as you say you're a Christian, you become God's advertisement. Is that true? Is that true? So you better get something good. You better get something good. Because you know those people out there are not in the least bit interested in your religion. They're not. They had enough. But if you've got something good, they might want that. You've got to have something they want. You know. You know, I tell people, if you've got the joy, tell your face about it. At least, you know. Or she'll be like the man, you know, where I live in Macon, Georgia. There was this guy, bless his heart, he meant well, you know. But he's down in the street with the tracks.
Abundant life. Abundant life. And
you want to say, if you've got this life?
Yes.
And you really want to say, well, if you've got it, you can keep it. So I've got enough problems of mine. Enough problems of mine. See, the gospel is good news, isn't it? I mean, I only had a little bit of it. I had the salvation part. I was born again, barely, by the skin of my teeth, because we didn't know anything else. Nobody told us about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Nobody told us about being delivered. I wish somebody told me that 10 years before. Then I wouldn't have struggled with all that stuff. We didn't know. I tell you, so when I was deaf in one ear, okay? I was deaf in one ear. When we came into this revival, it was a powerful revival. God used everybody. It wasn't a couple of people at the front. God moved on everybody. I said this morning, in our meetings, it didn't matter where you sat. The person next to you could tell you your name because the Spirit of God was so strong. I sat in meetings like this because you couldn't look up because the light was so bright. You couldn't look up. You just have to sit like this. It was like this brilliant bright light. When people called for directions, you know, to get to the church, we'd have to say, look, when you come to the church, there'll be people laying outside in the street. Don't take any notice. Just step over them. And it really was like that. Because the power of God, you know, God just did whatever he wanted to do. We didn't even know how to have a meeting. We didn't have a program. If we missed God, we just had a cup of tea because it's too late. We missed it, you know what I mean? If you miss God, we had no program to fall back on. So God just took over. Listen, my husband went in the schools in England, the kids in our church, in our fellowship. When my husband went into the schools, they had to close the schools because the power of God would fall on the school. Not every time was the same, but there were many times when they had to close the school because the power of God fell on the kids. The kids were laid out in the spirit, in the corridors, in the playing fields. They'd have to close the school. The teachers were getting saved, or sometimes the teachers couldn't speak. Even Leicester College, which is one of the more intellectual colleges in England, they had to close it. Because the kids on the floor, when they got up, could either not speak at all or speak in tongues. That's the same God here, isn't it, in New Zealand? He's trying to bring this Elijah mantle. But you see, it's one thing for it to be there, it is there. So other people have seen it. But we have to receive it, don't you? It's not automatic. Look, you can't stand around and say, well, Jesus knows where I live if he wants to heal me. It doesn't work like that. Jesus knows where I live if he wants to fill me with the Holy Spirit. No, it says desire. Sometimes you have to push in a little bit. Because you know what? The devil doesn't want you to receive anything. He definitely doesn't want you to get in the anointing. That's for sure. Because you see, you only affect his kingdom under the anointing. You doing good things for 20 years does not affect the devil's kingdom. I said this morning, see, you can do this for 20 years. You can do a lot of good things and miss the God thing. I did it myself. You can do lots of things working for Jesus, totally miss the anointing. How many of you have done that? You've been so busy working for Jesus, you miss divine appointments. Yes, you can. I've done it. You've done that too. Well, we don't have to do that anymore, though, because we can hear from God, can't we? I tell people, you have to put your antenna up. You hear from God. God's talking. He wants his people to be spirit-led. He's looking for spirit-led people. He's not running around. What's this place called? Mosgiel. He's not running around Mosgiel trying to recruit workers for the kingdom. Thanks all the same. Don't call us, we'll call you. He's looking for his sons and daughters to rise up and be who he called them to be. One of the anointing, spirit-led people. This end-time church has got to be spirit-led, hasn't it? We've got to come out from the dead religious stuff and really get in the anointing and get in the Holy Spirit. Because God wants to do awesome things. How does he do it? How does he do these awesome things? Through his people, usually. Say, that's me. I'm available. I'm so qualified. You see, but everything he does and makes available, you have to receive it. So you can be offered, Jesus offered salvation. He died on the cross and rose again. But it's not automatic. You have to receive him. Is that right? You don't get saved whether you like it or not, do you? You have to receive. If you need a healing, you have to receive the healing. Don't you? I mean, when I came into revival, I had a terrible struggle to receive my first healing because I didn't know how to receive. I only knew how to receive things here. Because for 10 years, I sat under, like I said, my pastor was the greatest expository teacher in the world. He was a wonderful man, but it was all here. So when I came, I found, oh, Jesus healed people. Oh, my, really? I was shocked. And they showed me the scriptures, you know, by stripes. You were healed. He healed all that were oppressed. I thought, oh, how do I get healed? I had no idea how to receive anything. I only knew here. You know what I mean? I know how to actually receive. I said, God, I know you want to heal me. I want to heal my ear, but how do I do this? You know, it's a puzzle to me. Anyway, God dealt with some things in my life that were actually just in the way of me receiving. See, God loves you. If you believe him, he will remove the things that are in your way so that you're able to receive. Because God gets glory when you receive the promise, doesn't he? God gets glory when you receive the promise. He doesn't get glory out of our pleading, begging and whining. He gets glory when we receive. So anyway, God dealt with some things in my life. Because I said, God, you've got to heal me. Because this healing is your idea, not mine. I don't know how to receive this. Anyway, I ended up in a mud hut in Africa. And God made me deal with some things. And he delivered me and got me delivered and got those things out of the way. And I was immediately healed. Woo! You see, if you... whatever it is you need to receive, whether it's a healing... who needs healing? Who needs some kind of healing? Well, most people do, actually. Or some kind of deliverance from something. Some kind of deliverance, some kind of... you know what? God's been doing miracles in people's finances. Do you know why he's doing that? Because you want people to be free. This move that's coming, there's things to do and places to go. And he wants people to be available. You see, so he's dealing with a lot of those things so that people are not prevented by lack of finance, lack of money, lack of health. So he's dealing with the stuff. So as this move's coming, it's so strong and it's awesome. You're available. And nothing's stopping you. Your lack, you see, shouldn't prevent you from being able to do what God's telling you to do. Should it? That's not God. So he's dealing with a lot of those things. Aren't you glad? He wants you to be so free to do what he says, go where he says. See, there's no time or distance in the Holy Spirit realm. There's no time or distance. God can just as soon tell you to go to London as he can tell you to go to Auckland. No time or distance in the Spirit. So I'm so available. Don't say it if you're not. Because, you see, this year, this is only April, folks, there's still a lot of suddenness. Isn't there? There's still a lot of suddenness. And doors can open and close. And windows can open and close. You have to be at the door. So when that door opens, you fall through it. I had a vision one time when I was in a church where I live in Macon, Georgia. There's a lot of young people there. And I had this vision when I was sitting there, and I saw a door. I saw some people leaning on the door. So when it opened, they just fell through. I saw some other people like over here, but they were keeping an eye on the door. So when the door opened, they kind of made a run. There was other people over here that didn't even know there was a door. Oblivious. So I shared this vision, you see. There was a lot of young people there, including my daughter. So I shared this vision. I said, you know, if you're looking for adventures with God, there's doors of opportunity that God is opening for you. But he doesn't push you through the door. He doesn't make you do anything. He invites you. So if you're looking for a door, you need to keep an eye on that door. I shared this vision in the meeting. Well, two things happened that I know of. One, this little girl, she's 15, and she felt like God told her to go to England. And she was saved some money, and she'd saved $500. But all the fares at the time were over $800. Okay? And she's in the shower on Monday, and God said to her, Leah, get out of the shower and call British Airways. So she got out of the shower. She called British Airways. Guess what? They had a 24-hour ticket sale. $500. You see, so she was leaning on the door. So when it opened, it was the 24-hour door. she just fell through. Now my daughter, at the time she was 16, my daughter never saw any reason why she couldn't do anything. She's one of those people. By the time she was 13, she'd been on 30 mission trips on her own. When she was 15, she took a group of kids to China, smuggling Bibles. She said to me, Mom, God wants me to go to China. I said, I'll find you a group. She said, no, I'm going to take my own group. China wasn't so tolerant in those days. You know what I mean? They put you in prison if you had Bibles. You know, now they just put you on a plane and send you back. So I could take my own group. I said, Lisa, it's a long way. You see, but I taught people, if you teach your kids to hear from God, because if your kid gets lost in Kmart and they know how to hear from God, you don't have to worry. I said, Lisa, China's a long way. She said, Mom, but if I get lost in China, I can hear from God. I had to eat more in words. I said, I don't know if you're going to get a group to go with you. Well, in 1 week's time, she had a group. 2 12-year-olds, 2 13-year-olds, 2 14-year-olds, and Lisa, 15. They went off to China smuggling Bibles. They wrote their mothers a letter and said, open it when the plane leaves. We thought it was like, well, pray for us. You know. It was this letter, you know what it said? Dear Mum and Dad, we know this is a very risky thing, going to China, and it's possible we could be put in prison, but don't worry about us, because we learn to praise the Lord. If they kill us, that's okay. We'd be like, well, the plane's gone now, you know. They get to Beijing, because each kid has you're allowed to take £90 at the time, a £90 case of Bibles, which they couldn't even lift. But they got to Beijing Airport and they had a little prayer meeting. They said, God, help us with this luggage. We've got to get the Bibles out here by the security. And guess what happened? All the electrical system in the airport broke down. They couldn't scan anything. The guards come and said, get this stuff out of here. I said, okay. They got someone with a cart. Anyway, you know, they arranged to meet some of the pastors who took the Bibles from them. They were in, I don't know how they did it. I don't know how they got there. They're in the government buildings playing over the government seats, the parliament seats. They're on the Great Wall doing drama, Christian dramas. And the Holy Spirit would tell them when the guards were coming. And they'd stop and just stand around, and then they'd start again. Woo! So you have to be by the door. Well, I forgot it didn't have the thing. It is holy water because I got it. Anyway, so Lisa, my Lisa, this same week with the open door thing, you know, Lisa said to me, she's only 16, she said, Mom, God wants me to work in the government for a while. So I said, well, you know, you can go down to Macon and volunteer with at the Republican office. She said, no, I'm going to Capitol Hill. I said, Lisa, they don't have 16-year-olds on Capitol Hill. She said, they're going to have me. On Tuesday, she gets a call from guess where? Capitol Hill. Tom DeLay's office, he was the chief whip. Somebody says to Lisa, do you want to come and work for a while for Tom DeLay? She said, yes, I do. They said, you have to come tomorrow. Because on Thursday, they're going to give that to someone else. So she's leaning on the door. She packed her stuff. She's on the plane the next day. Arrives in Capitol Hill Wednesday. So she's in her little place there. The first night she was there, God gave her a major word of knowledge for one of the senators that absolutely saved his bacon. She said, God said, if you will confess what you did to the other senators, they'll forgive you and it'll be okay. She didn't know what she's talking about. He said, honey, it doesn't work like that around here. I can't do that. She said, God said, if you will confess what you did to the other senators, they'll forgive you. He said, no, honey, it doesn't work like that. She said, well, I can't, I'm not going to say it again. So I guess he thought he had nothing to lose. He called a meeting of 80 senators and confessed what he did. And they were so shocked they forgave him. They were so shocked. Did anybody confess anything? You see, so it doesn't matter if you're 5 or 105. God's got doors of opportunity. You're 100% qualified. There's not a test. There's not a test. You're 100% qualified. God will use you. He will use you. Because there's things to do and places to go. Seriously. You know, my husband, how old are you girls back there? How old are you? 14. Wow! That's an awesome age. That's an amazing age. So my husband has meetings with little kids. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. He gets them under the anointing. They go to heaven, talk to the angels, learn instruments with the angels. When they come, I've seen whole roomfuls of kids just, you know, when the anointing comes really strong, you really can't move for much. Then they come back, and he has them praying for the sick. Little kids, 5, 6, 7 years old, come sick, deaf ears open, blind eyes open, broken bones instantly healed, twisted spines. Perfectly straight. He calls it the laying on of sticky fingers. Because God's not a respecter of persons. He just uses you if you're willing to step out. You know, he's not impressed with your intellect. Cabbage will do for a head. He's just looking for someone that's willing and available. See, God's not limited to your ability, is he? He's not limited to your ability. If you're an open vessel, he can flow through you. He can do anything, can't he? If you just step out a little bit. I saw the anointing this week. I was a little three-year-old kid. She came out of the nursery, actually. She stood there, anointing came all over her. She said, "What's happening, Miss Kathy?" I said, "I don't know, pray for that guy. He was evangelist. This guy was huge. He was a big guy." I lifted her up, my arms. She put her hand on him. He goes flying back against the wall, smack. He said to me, "Why did you do that?" I said, "I didn't touch you. I was that little kid." He said, "Well, my foot's healed." All you have to do is be available. Be available. And step out a little bit in faith. You know, God's not relying on your ability. When we think of doing things, we think of what we, our ability. But it doesn't matter about your ability, it's his ability that flows through you. You know, when I the last job I had before I went was full time in the ministry, which was in 19. Let me just think. When I went to full time ministry, it was 1970. 70, 80, 90. You weren't even born. Well, how many years is that? 40. 70, 80, 90, 100. Okay, so I've been in... What? Okay, so I've been in the ministry almost 45 years. Full-time ministry, right? Because we were birthed in revival. What was I going to say that? Oh, yeah, okay. So just before we went in full-time ministry, because we were in the revival, I didn't have time to go to work. That's the time you go in full-time ministry, by the way, when you don't have time to work. You don't decide to go into full-time ministry and then sitting around waiting for God to give you something to do. You go when you don't have time to go to work anymore. But because, you see, I wasn't only just filled with the Holy Spirit, but before that I was like this fundamentalist, very religious kind of Christian. Didn't know anything about the power of God. Didn't know anything about the gifts of the Spirit. Didn't know anything about anything. Just had all this theology. So because of that, I never really had much of a testimony. So I didn't know how to move in the anointing. I was kind of like the same as everyone else, except I went to church. So before I left this last job, and I worked for a Jewish company, I always worked for a Jewish company, my husband's Jewish, I said to God, "You know I'm going to have to leave here soon, but I would really like to have a testimony, like I read other people have a testimony." So God told me, "Just do what I say." I said, "Okay." And I had this idea in my mind, you see, that God's going to give me these little words for people. Like, "Bless you. God loves you." You know, that'd be okay. Well, the first thing that happened was the chief salesman came in our office. And the Lord said to me, "That man?" I said, "Yes." He said, "He's selling the company accounts and he's to another company and he's fixing to follow them." I said, "Oh, I'll pray." So God said, "No, tell him." I can smell oil now. Can you smell that? Strong oil. There's no way to tell him. I said, "Oh." I said, "Tell him." So when he came back, I said, "Excuse me, I said, you know, because no, we're in England now, you know, it's all very proper where I was. You don't just say stuff to people like that." I said, "Excuse me, God told me that you're selling the company accounts to another company and you're fixing to follow them." He looked at me and said, "Who told you that? Who told you that?" I said, "God." He said, "God?" I said, "Yes." Because, you see, he thought I'd found out some So I said, no, God told me. But he went white. I knew it's true. He's just white. He's so scared because, you know. He said, what are you going to do? I said, I won't do anything if you bring the accounts back. So he did. I thought, wow, that's a bit, well, out there, you know. So then the chief accountant came in and the Lord told me, he's ripping off the petty cash thousands of dollars every month. I said, oh my gosh, that's bad. I pray. So God said, no, I want you to tell him. I'm like, that's my boss. So I went in. I said, excuse me. He said, what? I said, I know you're ripping off the company by thousands of dollars every month through that petty cash system. Well, he thought I'd seen, you know. He said, how did you know that? I said, God told me. He said, who told you? I said, God. He said, what are you going to do? I said, I won't do anything if you put as much back as you can. And don't promise you'll never do that ever again. You see, well, I had about 7 or 8 of these things going on. People came into my office like this. You know, afraid I was going to touch them or something. And they'd like whisper, like they were gonna disturb God, you know. Would you like some coffee? A lot of things happened like that. You know, like, this was funny. There was this really bad flu thing going around London, like people were off work for 3 weeks. So the boss, he said to me, we're all going to the hospital to get a shot for the flu thing. So he said, come on. I said, no, you can all go. I'm not going to go. I'm not going to get a shot. He said, you don't understand. This is 90% proof. I said, mine's 100% proof. Rolled his eyes. They went off to get their shot, you see, and I didn't. Well, that afternoon, you know, the devil challenges you, doesn't he? That afternoon, my throat was sore. My eyes were streaming like this. And they were so happy. They were so happy. So when I left the office, you know, with my eyes running, you know, they said, see you in 3 weeks. I was like, God, this is your idea, this healing thing. I never thought of it. You've got to do something. So he said, well, just tell David to pray for you. So when I got home, David prayed for me, it just lifted. So I went in all, you know, but I wish he'd heard. So they pretended not to notice me. You know, a lot of things happen like that. And eventually, because I had to leave because the revival, and there were so many people coming, and I just couldn't get to work. So I left. And I worked in the accounts. Before I left, I told them, because you know, anybody working accounts, at the end of the month, everyone's looking for their balances. You know, because all the balances are out. So everybody's trying to find, including me. But I said, you know what, I'm not going to do that anymore because the Holy Spirit's going to tell me where the things are out. So they would watch me at the end of the month. I said, oh God, please help me. And they got to say, there it is. And I said, oh, here it is. So they were like, what can you ask him about hours? But anyway, I left. You see, they never really, they were scared of God because he knew about them. So I said, he's got your number. And they knew it too. So after I left, it was about the third month, and the chief accountant called me. He said, Kathy, we've got this balance that's out. We can't find it, and the auditors can't find it either. We thought maybe you could come and you could ask him up there. Now listen, that was a major miracle that they would even say that to me. You can ask him up there. So when I got there, you know, I already prayed, so I didn't need to pray, but they were watching me to see if I was going to pray. They got me this desk with all these big posting sheets with hundreds of numbers and figures, and like, and it was like piled this thick. So there's no way you're going to find that. No way. So I sat down, they bought me a cup of tea, you know, and they're all tiptoeing around so they didn't disturb God. I said, okay, I know there's no way to find this. So I just started turning over the pages like this, not even looking, because there's really no point. I turned the pages, they're looking. There's the Holy Spirit sits right there. I looked down, it's... I said, oh, here it is. They said, well, we knew. You see, because they're Jewish. God's always on their side. They said, well, we knew he'd do that. You see. Anyway, you know, they said, when they asked me to come, they said, we'd give you any amount of money you want. So I'm not stupid. I asked for a good amount. Anyway, so I left with a testimony. And they sure knew God was alive. You know, I don't know if anyone got saved, but my husband's Jewish dad, we received his salvation. He got saved in his sleep. Because it says, yeah, salvation is for you and your house. That's a promise, isn't it? And Jesus said, when you pray, what? Believe. So when we were in that revival, and our family was still out there, We said, God, we are in this tremendous revival and our family is still out there. He said, when are you going to believe they're saved? When you pray or when you see? Because salvation is for you and your house. We said, okay. By faith, we will start with our immediate family. My dad died when I was a kid. I saw my mum's name, David's mum's name, and his dad's name in that book. I said, by faith, I see their names in your book. Thank you. I release the spirit of salvation and I release the spirit of adoption. That's it. You said when you pray, believe it. I believe it. And I never prayed for them again. Never prayed for them again because I got it in my spirit. They were saved. They were so saved. They didn't realize it. But I got it. That's what faith is, by the way. Faith is when you receive something in your spirit before you see it. Right? You understand that. First thing that happened, David's little Jewish dad got saved in his sleep. God bypassed his mind, his little Jewish theology. He sat up in bed one night with his hands in the air, fast asleep, David's mom told us, and he said, Jesus, my Messiah. When he woke up, he was so saved. He loved Jesus. Then he began to understand with his mind. You know, he'd stand at the gate every day and tell people about Jesus. He called and said, I want to get baptized. I'll come and get baptized in the bath. You baptized people in the bath in those days. It was cold. Then David's mom. She's a very good Catholic lady. The priest wouldn't let her come to our meetings, though. But she hurt her shoulder, so we took her to a healing meeting in the town hall. Her shoulder got healed. She sat there, her shoulder got healed. She thought, maybe there's something in this. So she went forward and got saved. My mum got saved. I'm not going to tell you all about that. It's too long. But my mum got saved in a supernatural way. Just supernaturally. She came to our meeting after a huge battle. Came to our meeting, which she's terrified of, you know, because she thought church was two little hymns and a little 10-minute message. And it was pretty wild in those days. She came to our meeting. She was on the floor for 2.5 hours under the anointing, got up speaking in tongues. But she was saved when we prayed, understand? They were saved when we prayed. See, when God gives you something, you have to get it in your spirit, don't you? Mine! Got to get it. You don't wait to see. You get it when he says it. That's what faith is. When you pray, believe. Got it. Mine. And then you see the manifestation. But you get it first, don't you? Yes, he understands. I know. I can see that. You get it first. How about if... How many of you have unsaved family? Do you want to pray for them right now? Do you want to do what I did? Because look, two things. Salvation is for you and your house. It's a promise. It's a promise. If your Aunt Mary can go off to some spiritualist meetings and affect your family, which it does, how much more can the anointing in you affect your family? Yeah? Salvation is for you and your house, a promise. And Jesus said, when you pray, believe. That's what God said to us. And we said, what about our family out there? He said, oh, haven't you read where it says, when you pray, believe? We said, okay, by faith, it's over. We never prayed for them again when I saw their names in that book. Because they were saved. They just didn't realize it for a while. So how about, and there's such a beautiful smell of oil down here. I said, can you smell it? But it's beautiful. So how about if we pray for your family? And by faith, you can see their names in his book. All right? You want to do that? Do you want to do that? You don't want to do that? You do. You do. Okay. Right. So when I pray, by faith, you see their names. In that book, it's a promise, you and your family. And when you see them, say the names quietly if you want to. And then we'll receive it. I'll agree with you today. You know, but when you get it in your spirit and in your faith, it's over. It's done. Don't take any notice of what you see and hear. What you see and hear, like your children, can lie to you. This lady said to me a while ago, my children never lie to me. I said, did they tell you that? That's what they told you that, didn't they? Okay, ready? Thank you, Lord. Salvation is for us and our house. That's what you said. Lord, you want everyone here to have a testimony. If we just move out in faith a little bit and do what you say. And you'll set this place alight. You know what this place reminds me of? Those little Welsh towns. They got to set alight by the gospel, whoa, didn't they? Bella. Everyone was saved. Whoa. Thank you, Lord. So I just pray. Thank you for that book of life. Thank you, Lord. Salvation is for us and our house. And you said when you pray, believe. Not when you pray, wait and see. If it happens, then so we receive that today, Lord, by faith. We see their names in your book. Can you see that? See their names in your book. Just say the names real quietly. Speak it out. And Lord, we receive salvation. We release the spirit of adoption. In Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' mighty name. Thank you. We got it. Got it. See, when he gives you something, you have to get it, don't you? Mine! Don't let someone take it away from you, hath God said. The devil's ministry never changed. Did God really say it? You mean you really believe that? Did you really get healed? Did you really? That's what the devil still says, doesn't it? People come to my conferences sometimes, they see angels. They go in chariots, they go back to their church. So, you know what, I went to Cathy Waters' meeting and I saw angels. Who do you think you are? You're not Benny Hinn. That religious thing wants to take something away right away. Yeah. I said, no, mine. Yeah. When we came into that revival and I came out of all my theology, I said, God, I love all this stuff you're doing. But what, you know, how do I don't know how to receive it? He said, the realm of the Spirit. Say it after me, realm of the Spirit. Supernatural realm. The angels. Heavenly visitations. That's my inheritance. It's normal. It's normal. Normal. It's supposed to be a normal for every Christian. Jesus didn't leave you a religious realm. He left you the realm that he lives in. Whew, so exciting. Smart. But you have to own something for yourself, don't you? You have to own it. God, it's mine. Yes, receive it. Okay, well, I love you in Mosgiel. You, look, you have to forgive me because I travel every week. And some of your names are strange to me. I can't say them. I can remember Dunedin. So I've been there 3 times now, so I remember that one. What? Dundee and Edinburgh. Oh. Yeah, well, I can remember that one. Dunedin. Auckland, I can remember that. But I love, you know what, I love New Zealand. I think God's got awesome things for New Zealand. There's, you know, there's a revelation of the grace of God that's coming to New Zealand that will set people so free from all that legalism and religion and working at it and striving and trying. See, look, the glory comes when it's all God. The glory comes when it's all God. He wants to do it. He gets the glory when he does the work. We get to do the yielding. He does the work, we get to do the yielding, not striving and trying. Let me remind you something. Your first calling is to enjoy God. Right? When you enjoy him, then you can serve him. But if you're doing something for God today, and it's not delightful, forget it. It just works. Because he puts his desires in your heart. And when you serve him, it's delightful. Because it's in your heart. The new covenant is a heart thing. A new heart and a new spirit I put within them. They'll be my sons and daughters. So he puts his desires in your heart. So it's delightful when you serve the Lord. It's in your heart already. You should come with me to Ireland and Scotland, you guys. I take a group to Ireland and Scotland every year. You going to come? You want to come? It's awesome. It's not religious. It's not a mischief. It's for you to chill out and let God touch you. Going to come? He's going to come. If you're interested, give your email to Margaret on my book table. And I'll send you a flyer. You see, you've got a... Oh, that oil is so strong. Can you smell it? It's oil, like beautiful oil. Get me drunk. So if you want to talk to me, I'll be here. If you want me to pray for you, I'll be here. There's other people can pray for you. Whatever you want. Whatever you want.
Whatever you want.
But can I just share with you some of the things that are on my book table? See, because that's my cows. I've been praying for people for cows. Did you get a cow? Cows represent a continual means of provision. So God's been dropping cows on people. Little businesses. Because you have to prosper, I'm sorry. Because you've got things to do. And places to go. Is that right? Listen, there's a little 11-year-old boy in Atlanta last year. He wanted to take his whole Sunday school class on a mission trip to Mexico. In my meeting, he got a cow. God showed him how to trade stamps on the internet, supernaturally. He was earning $2,500 a week. He took his whole class on a mission trip to Mexico. 23 kids. Is that awesome? See, God's not a respecter of persons. He believed. He got that cow. And he did what he wanted to do. We know that there's nations out there. New Zealand's called to the nations. They include you. They include you, young people. They include you, older people, too. Because you only got one shot down here. You might as well have fun. You're not coming back as a rabbit or something. Okay, this is what's on my book table. You know, because if you get set free, you've got to get truth in you. You know, spirit things that set you free from the religious mindsets. Religious mindsets don't help you. They take away your joy and bring you under condemnation. There's I did this over at Cromwell, a whole seminar on the difference between believing and faith, because you receive by faith, right? Faith and a whole teaching about angels. You should understand about the angels. The angels minister to you and they minister with you also. Angels minister to you, they sing to you, they speak scriptures to you. How many of you woke up one morning, you got this song? I haven't sung that for 10 years. That's angels ministering to you. You have to listen up. They're not singing to you to entertain you. I've got some of these CDs, colour CDs. They've got like several of my books on. There's one with my Celtic books. There's one with my supernatural books. One with the angels books. What's that one? Oh, this is fun. The Fanatic in the Attic. The fanatic in the attic, that's your spirit man. The fellow in the cellar, that's your mind realm, because they both talk to you. The fanatic in the attic is always getting you to get out there and do stuff. And the fellow in the cellar says, has God said, you're out of your mind. I told them the story the other day of Arthur Burt. Some of you know him. Because he taught us about the fanatic in the attic. He said he was on a bus in the English countryside on a Sunday afternoon. Well, if you've ever been on a bus in the English countryside on Sunday afternoon, you know those buses run every 2.5 hours if you're really fortunate. So he's on this bus going from town A to town B, pouring with rain. And the fanatic in the attic, the spirit man, said, Arthur, get off the bus at the next stop. The fellow in the cellar said, are you out of your mind? There's nothing here. And the fanatic in the attic said, Arthur, get off the bus at the next stop. And the fellow in the cellar's mind said, are we crazy? There's nothing here. It's pouring with rain. But the bus stop's coming, so he has to choose. Well, he's been around a while, so he rang the bell. The bus stopped. He gets off the bus. Bus pulls away. He's standing there in the pouring rain. You see, and the fellow in the cellar said, I told you. And he stands there for a while, you know, 5 or 10 minutes, this car goes by and it starts to back up. The windows roll down and these heads poke out and say, Arthur Burt, it's Arthur Burt, praise God, get in, Arthur. So he's happy to get in, you know, it's in the pouring rain. They said, oh, we are so happy to see you, Arthur, because we're having this meeting in the town hall in this village a little way from here, and the guy that's supposed to preach called and said he couldn't come. So we play, oh God, please send somebody. And there you were, Arthur. So, if you listen to the fanatic in the attic, you get to be the answer. Not the problem. I mean, it's got lots of stories like that on there. True stories. And I've got 2 CDs on the glory realm. There's a lot of laughter on there, but there's a lot of good teaching as well. This is interesting, some of you guys. This is testimony of Lord John Taylor from the House of Lords and my teaching on the almond tree, because his testimony goes with my teaching. But when he was a kid, his father was a famous English cricketer. His mother was a black girl from Jamaica. But she had a child from the sir, whatever his name was. Well, after a little while, you see, he got married again, and the wife didn't want these in the house, so they kicked them out. So they're in the streets of London, trying to find somewhere to stay. And at that time in London, all the boarding houses had a sign in the window, which said, and he's got a CD with that title on it, no blacks, no Irish, no dogs. And his mother prophesied over him and said, when you're a man, you will never live like this. You'll be among the highest in the land. Now he's Lord John Taylor of Warwick. Was that awesome? He didn't do anything to earn that. He was just giving it to him. Prime Minister. Was at a garden party. I thought, who's the garden? Who was the Prime Minister like 10 years ago? Yeah. John Major. He says, at the garden, this garden party, John Major says to John, how would you like to be a lord? So he said, oh yeah, that'd probably be fine. You know, what's that mean, you know? So he said, oh yeah, okay, I'll think about that. So John said, well, you know, think about it. He said, how long do I have to think about it? So he said, oh, about 10 minutes. But God made him among the highest in the land. And then, see these little things? Jumps. I'd call them jumps, but you call them USBs. Now, when I was in New Zealand last time, you guys told me to do these things because you said it was convenient. So I did some. So now you had better buy them. Because on these little jumps, there's like different of my books and CDs and stuff like that. That's kind of convenient, isn't it? You just stick it in, I guess. So the different colours have different books and CDs on. Isn't that convenient? That's a good idea you guys had in New Zealand. It's true. What? You can have it if you want it. You've probably got those books. Anyway, so we've got our family saved now. That's over. Right, it's done. Don't pray for them again. You just got to keep it in your spirit. See, if you go back to praying again, you're going to let it go. You've got it. It's done. That's what faith is. When you pray, got it. Done. See, when I prayed for my family, I never prayed for them again. I talked to them like they were saved, like I talked to you. They thought we were, you know, they're looking at it like this. But I don't care, they were saved. My mother screamed at me, threw me out of the house. I went in the garden path saying, thank you, Lord, I know she's saved. Just doesn't realize it. Okay, well, you know, this is my last meeting. I'm going back to America. It's my family. How long have I been gone? About 5 weeks. It's a long time when you're away from your grandkids. My sweet little grandkids. Si and Judah Innisfree. They're so beautiful. Ooh. They wrote me a long list today, yesterday. Nana, we miss you so much. Please hurry home. Can you bring us some Turkish delight? Oh. Some crunchy bars? You know, God's looking for serious investors in the kingdom. I'm not just talking about money. But it's the time for serious. That means you. You're the investment. So your gifts, your callings, your prophetic gifts, your... everything you have is time to invest in the kingdom. That includes your money too, by the way, because God wants to prosper, because you have things to do, place to go. Now, the cows, does anybody not understand what I mean? Okay, the cows, like years ago when we were doing a lot of mission trips, I said to God, look, God, I love doing these mission trips, but we can't keep taking this money out of our general account because we have staff to pay. And God said, I'll give you a cow. I said, well, thanks all the same. But I don't think our neighbours would be very happy about having a cow in our yard. It's a very nice subdivision. I said, there might be something in the bylaws about that. And he said, you don't understand. I said, right. He said, a cow represents a continual means of provision. He said, I'll give you a book that'll be your first cow. Now, I wrote that book, Living in the Supernatural, and I didn't write it to make money. I write it because I had something to say. But nevertheless, it became a cow and it was out there and bringing some extra milk into our ministry, understand? So ever since that time, God gave me anointing to pray for cows for people. Now, all over, I have awesome, amazing testimonies of people that have got a cow from the God, from the Lord. I told you about the 11-year-old boy. Got a cow because you have things to do, places to go. Listen, girls, my 10-year-old granddaughter got a cow when she was with me in Ireland. But God gave her cows every day, gave her things to do. That girl made money. My granddaughter came home with like £3,000 out of the cow she gave her. Now she sewed that into different ministries. And she gave some to her mom and some to me for my ministry. Isn't that awesome? She's only 10. Anyway, so say I have things to do and places to go. Is that true? You know what? You don't have to. God's not forcing you. But now's the time to have adventures. You've got one shot. You might as well have fun. You might as well have some adventures. You're going to die of boredom. You know what? My friend's, her husband died 3 years ago. Her kids called and said, "Mum, buy a cat." So then she thought, "Well, that's a bit boring, sitting home with a cat." She said, "No, I'm going to go with Kathy Walters." She started traveling with me. Now our kids are calling her like, "Where are you?" Well, at least they know she's not bored. So a cow represents a continual means of provision. I don't know what your cow is. Your cow may not be a book or a CD like mine are. Your cow could be anything. That's why you have to keep your antenna up. You know, listening to God, getting things, everything you receive in the Holy Spirit is by faith, right? Is that right? You can't earn anything. So you have to keep your antenna up. So if you get a cow today, you don't have to have a cow if you don't want one. But if you do, then keep your antenna up. Listen to God. Because God can drop something in your spirit that can cause you to prosper. Not just for the sake of it, but because you have things to do. And you have places to go, and you're going to be available, right? That's what you said. I'm available. I'm qualified. Okay, now who wants a cow? Okay. Come on. Of course you want a cow. Who doesn't want a cow? You know what? Religious spirits hate the fun stuff, don't they? Religious spirits hate the fun stuff. So knock those out the way. I just command them to leave your mind right now, because God is a blesser and he wants people freed up. Everybody. Everyone's included in this. You're going to go. You're going to go. Where do you want to go? Where would you love to go? You're not sure? Haven't you ever seen anything on TV and thought, "I'd love to go there"? There you go. You see, why not? There isn't any time or distance in the spirit realm. God can send you to Paris just as much as he can send you to Dunedin. Can you smell the different perfumes? It's awesome. God speaks through the perfume, through the aromas too. Okay, so if you're going to have a cow, you have to do this. You have to catch the cow. Yes. Come on. Don't be talked out of it. Listen. When I pray, you put your arms like this. Look, that's not a cow. That's a hamster. You going to milk a hamster? When I pray, hold your arms really loose and you'll begin to feel a weight, a slight weight in your arms. When you do, you've got to give it a hug, because you've got to love your cow, haven't you? You have to love your cow. So it won't work for you if you don't love your cow. I love your cow. Okay. Ready? Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I just release those cows today, because you are causing your people to prosper. Thank you, Lord, for those little businesses, the little ways that's going to set people free to be able to go do what you tell them to do. Jesus' name, I shall release those cows right now. Now, Just wait, you'll start to feel a slight weight. Come on, hold your arms out. When you feel a slight weight, just give it a hug. Yeah, see, she's got one. Woo! And then just keep then just keep your antenna up. Let God, he'll show you something or drop something in your spirit. I love it. You see, the Holy Spirit is the most awesome businessman too. He knows what he's doing. Joy, joy, joy. I got the joy, 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 joy. Honey, money. Honey, money. Oh, I can smell honey now. That's revelation. Can you smell it? Oh, it's so strong up here. Can you smell it? It's oil. Send it back there with the oil. Okay, give it a hug. So love you, pal. You've got a fat one there. Got a fat cow there, Nathan. Yeah, he's got drunk milk. He's got to drive us. You know, one time, I was lifted up into heaven every day for 3.5 weeks. Some of those days I was actually driving. I have no idea how I got to where I was going. I got to where I was going, I have no idea how, because I was in heaven. The Holy Ghost, it's all over me like a fire to you.
More.
Have some Holy Ghost
more.
Wine. Okay, you can check out my book table. You can check out my book table if say, devil, ha, ha. Ah. You're going to be sorry. That the laughter actually is a warfare weapon. God looks on his enemies and laughs. The laughter's good, don't worry about it. God laughs. God laughs at his enemies. What happens, you see, when the laughter comes is your spirit begins to pick up on a victory. It's happening in the spirit realm. That's what the laughter is. Brings it down. So that means things are being broken in this area today.